Baptism of our Lord Sunday reminds us not only that Jesus was baptized, but the promise and power of baptism for our life and walk with God. So having our confirmation youth with us today reminds me of the gift that is the small catechism. So if you grew up like I did studying and maybe even memorizing the small catechism, nowadays there's an app you can get for your phone. So this is free commercial time. There's a free app from Augsburg Fortress Publishing that has the small catechism on your phone. So I thought, why not hear from Luther from the small catechism on what he said about baptism? Baptism in our Lutheran tradition is one of two sacraments, and a sacrament is how God's grace comes to us. And so baptism and Holy Communion are the two sacraments, the ways in which we receive God's grace in our life in tangible ways. So if you recall in the small catechism, everything is framed as a question. So the question is, what is baptism? Luther said, baptism is not simply plain water. Instead, it is water used according to God's command and connected with God's word. So in the Great Commission, as we call it, in Matthew 28, Jesus' final words to the disciples are, go forth, go make disciples to the ends of the earth, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, to go and to baptize. Question two in the small catechism, what gifts or benefits does baptism grant? It brings forgiveness of sins, redeems from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe it, as the words and promises of God declare. And it goes on from there. So check out the small catechism app at the App Store. It's free. And I know our confirmands, I've already encouraged them to do it. But we want to talk about baptism. Baptism, as Amanda shared, is something that we do, and we, in our tradition, we do it once in our life. And many of us are baptized as infants or very small children. So how many of you were baptized when you were very young? I was born in July and baptized in September. I have no memory of my baptism. But years ago, when I was visiting my parents, my mom shared with me my baptismal certificate. And I thought that was pretty cool. But baptism is something we do once in our life, and it is where we receive the promise of salvation, where we're declared a beloved child of God, and through which we have the assurance of not only God's grace in our life, but the promise of salvation. The promise of eternal life is granted to us through baptism. That is a promise that we can trust our whole life. So baptism comes to us. Now, in the early church, almost all baptisms were done with adults who not only could have the memory of being baptized, but were making a decision to be baptized. And that's how people became members of the church. It was through baptism when people said, I choose to acknowledge my faith. I choose to seek to follow Jesus in my life as a disciple. I want to be part of the church. And baptism was the entry ritual. But as time went on, baptism moved from, and in some tradition it still is with adults, but it started to move toward children because of a high infant mortality rate. The church started baptizing infants. And as I said, most of us don't have memories of our baptism. And so a second step was developed, which we call confirmation. And that is the point at which individuals who have been baptized have the opportunity to, on their own, say, this is the path that I want to follow in my life. This is What my parents maybe did on my behalf, now I'm saying this is what I want for myself. Now, I find it somewhat amusing that in the history of the church, we've decided that 13-year-olds were the right people to decide that that was when we should say yes to God. Not that 13-year-olds, my wonderful confirmation youth, shouldn't say yes to God at age 13 or 14, but really, we really need to develop the mindset of affirming our baptism, of saying yes to God, not once in our life when we're teenagers, but throughout our life, that we can make and remake a commitment to following Christ in our life when we're 13, when we're 30, when we're 80, and when we're 99 years old. It's never too late. In fact, Luther himself, as he talked about baptism, talked about being reminded of baptism every single day, that as we wash our face, as we take a shower and cleanse our bodies, that we should be mindful of the waters of baptism through which we are permanently made clean. We are made whole in the waters of baptism. Or as Scripture points out in Romans chapter 6, that in the waters of baptism, we die to our old self. We die in the waters of baptism and are reborn a child of God. We are reborn a new creation, set free from the bondage of sin, set free from the powers of death and evil and all the things that defy God. We are set apart as children of God in the waters of baptism. And as we heard in our Bible study this morning, and at every baptism, we say to those who are being baptized, now that they are a new creation, that they should let their light shine before others, that the whole world might see in them the good works of God through their life. The power of baptism, the promise of baptism, is something that we really need to hold on to as a foundational aspect of our faith, and look for ways to say yes to God throughout our life. Because life has its ups and downs, has its peaks and valleys, and there are times that we really need to recommit ourselves through the power and promise of our baptism. Now, in the gospel narratives, Jesus, as Amanda so rightly pointed out, comes to John to be baptized. Now, baptism, we understand, is cleansing of sin, being named a child of God, but Jesus, in a certain way, doesn't need to be baptized. And I think John the Baptist understood that, like, was confused. Well, you're the Son of God. You're the Messiah. You came to free us from our sin. Why are you coming to the baptismal river? And Jesus says, yes, but I want to model faithful living for all those who come after me. That part of being a follower of Jesus is we follow his example. And so Jesus comes to be baptized. He comes to be baptized, and scholars and historians would say that Jesus was probably 30 years old at that moment, that he begins his public ministry at age 30, which another way to put that is for 30 years, no one who knew Jesus other than his mother knew what God was doing. And at that moment, Jesus the carpenter comes to the River Jordan and is baptized. And it says, after he was baptized, this is in Luke's version, he was praying. He was praying, and the heavens opened. And this very powerful image, and I think strange image, it says, the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus bodily like a dove. Bodily like a dove. I have not seen that in this life, but I'm imagining it's a pretty awesome experience to witness, because it's not just that this happens to Jesus. It is in view of all those who are gathered. The Holy Spirit descends upon Jesus, and then the loud voice from heaven, you are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. What a powerful moment that must have been for Jesus, to hear those words and for everyone else who was gathered to hear it. That this Jesus, this carpenter, son of Joseph and Mary, is the beloved Son of God, and the very power of the Holy Spirit has been given to him and will be embodied in his ministry of healing, of proclaiming God's word, and ultimately a ministry that leads him to the cross and to the empty tomb. Jesus' baptism, I like to say, is like the divine bat signal for Jesus. It's the catalyst moment. Like before that, Jesus is the anonymous carpenter. And after that, God sort of says, I don't want you to miss the moment. So here it is in big, shiny, dramatic fashion. You are my son, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased. And with that, Jesus' earthly ministry begins. And he begins teaching. He begins healing. He begins calling the disciples to follow. And the world is changed because. And it starts with the baptism of Jesus. Now, these words that Jesus hears at baptism, you are my son, the beloved, with you I am well pleased, are not just words for Jesus at baptism. Those are words for each of us as well. You, my son, you, my daughter, are beloved. With you I am well pleased. That in the waters of baptism, we are called a child of God, a son, a daughter. We are called beloved. And that moniker, that designation as being a beloved child of God, given to us through baptism, can never be taken from you. No matter what anyone else calls you, you, in the eyes of God, are loved. You are worthy. Your life matters. You are loved by the Creator of the universe. And you are known. In that Isaiah passage, in Isaiah 43, it talks about how God, the Redeemer, the Creator, knows us by our name. God knows you inside and out. And God's first and most important response to you is love. God's love is for you. God's love should ground us, and through baptism we have that assurance, that promise that we are beloved children of God. In response to that love, Jesus says, let your light so shine before others that all the world would see through your good works the glory of God. In baptism, we have an identity. We have God's amazing love and grace. And through the baptism, we have the power of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit which enabled Jesus to do all of his ministry that led him to the cross and beyond. That same Holy Spirit is given to us. We have the power of the Holy Spirit within us to be the very hands and feet of Christ in the world, to share God's love, to know that we are loved, and to share it. So we give thanks today for the gift of baptism for our life and the gift that it is to the world. Amen.